Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Kids Rush Radio. Kids Rush Radio.
Hey, how you doing there this evening? Big shout out to the Shiloh Christian girls basketball team. Daryl Burstell, man, congratulations on winning the whole thing. They are your 2016, I believe, Class B state champions up in North Dakota. Man, Daryl Burstell, I think one of the biggest reasons why this basketball team is one of the greatest athletes, dancers, dudes, coaches. He was right there with me. He stuck with me the whole time. And I could not believe that here I am just winning a national title. I go for a morning run, and Daryl Burstell is in Mandaree, North Dakota, outrunning me pretty much. But I just want to give that basketball team. Also, anybody who's in the hospitals, anybody who's struggling, you know, I want you to know I'm praying for you. You know, I know that we all go through some things, and I just want to lift you and your family up in prayer, you know, when I go to bed this evening. We all need to pray for each other. We all need to pray for our nation, our country. It's so sad tonight. We have two politicians in Flint, Michigan, the poorest communities right now in the world, not just in America, but they're going through a third world situation right now, the way that their water system is going down. Two politicians are up there promising them everything. It's so crazy that all this is going on and they haven't had any reality in this country. A lot to talk about this evening. One more final shout out. I want to give a shout out to my Oklahoma City Thunder for finally winning a game today against the Milwaukee Bucks on the road. It's sad to say that I'll take anything right now. And I don't know if it's the coach. I don't know if it's the players making all this money that makes them say, let's just be the Thunder instead of a contender. You know, we blow a 22-point lead against the Clippers and lose. We blow a lead against the Warriors and lose. And then we just show up in Golden State and didn't want to play against them. So, you know, we did beat the Kings, and we did beat something to celebrate around here in Oklahoma. Oklahoma Sooners, glad that they closed it out against Texas Christian yesterday, barely winning on the road as well. We've had the same problems with our Sooners. So I think the Thunder and the Sooners are ready for the basketball season to be done with. I'm just glad a lot of our state teams here, local teams here, and all the Indians keep hanging on them. I know, I think it was St. Stephens up in Wyoming. They won their first state title. Big shout out to Navajo Prep. They went down to Cuba. They had a young team. They went down to Cuba and lost by 10 points to a very good Cuba basketball team, and that was in women's action. But I'm just really proud of my homegirl, Rainey Crisp, over at Navajo Prep and the work that she's doing to get them young ladies to come together and play hard. So just wanted to give them a quick shout-out there. If there's any basketball teams that I miss, I do apologize. March Madness is here, and I'm excited about it. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily replace football, but it's going to give me a whole month to be excited about some type of sport. Really quick follow-ups here. I want to thank Little Hoop College for the opportunity to come up there with MC1 and do a presentation up there. Then we went down to Circle of Nations in Wapton, North Dakota. I want to give a special shout out to Twin Buttes, North Dakota, home of champions. I want to thank their entire community for letting me come up and be part of the school and the after, you know, and meeting with the community after school. I came home and on March the, I'm sorry, on February the 24th, and do a teen dating violence speaking engagement over there. I want to thank Daisy and Anthony and their whole entire crew for giving me the opportunity to come back to Osage Nation, one of the places I grew up when I was a little dude, and just to be able to come back to that community and share some words. I'm very, very grateful and thankful for that. Big shout out to Mariah Watchman. If you've been on Facebook, we had the opportunity, Marcus and I had the opportunity to travel out to Window Rock, Arizona, and do the Dreamers Junction runway show, Evening with the Stars, out at Navajo Nation. Mariah Watchman, my Uncle Keith Bear, and we just want to thank the oil company for giving us the opportunity, my homeboy Tony for giving me the opportunity to be a part of that event. And then we sped over to a Navajo prep and closed out our week with the students over there as they prepare for the great tournament. They went off and played in the state tournament, so we had a privilege to go over there and kind of hype up that community. I want to thank Denise, Joe, and her entire staff for giving Marcus and I the opportunity to travel over there. What brings me here tonight, man, it feels good to be home, home-cooked food, just running around with the kids, doing everything that they want to do now. It's good to be off the road. It's good to be at home. I want to give a big well, they just sent his grandmother home to the creator, and she's pretty ill, and just, you know, got to spend her final days with her friends and family. He drove his sister all the way back to New Mexico a couple of days ago, and he caught a flight back up to Oneida country, and it was good to see him in the airport, hug him, tell him I love him, and sit and visit with him. Good fellowship, very proud alumni with him at Haskell Nations University, really proud of our Haskell Nations University women's basketball team. They have it together. They're getting some things done. I just want to wish them the best of luck the rest of their career. Got to come home. Feel good to be here. A lot going on. You guys get out and vote, or if you haven't voted or haven't registered, let's make it happen. Indian country, your voice matters. It counts regardless of what anyone else. We got to make some things happen. A lot of stuff going on in the political world. Nancy Reagan passed away this morning, if anybody's a fan of the Reagan era. You know, I know that Ronald did the best that he could to be fair to our tribal people, you know, over the years. So, you know, just be keeping politics in mind, you know, as we start thinking, you know, how is any country going to be? Next week's episode, which is I don't even have a title for it yet, but it's going to be about we live in one world. That's the next week's title. So we'll put it together and put it up here on the radio show here, which brings us to tonight's episode: Take a Stand Against Community Epidemics. We tried this last week, some technical difficulties. Also, I was trying to get out and get back on the road and whatnot, so it was really hard for me to kind of put some things together. But, you know, what I was sharing with some of the groups, I believe it was up in North Dakota, I said, you know, one of the reasons why suicide is at an all-time high in tribal communities is because we're not talking about it. We're not addressing it like we should. We have to speak up about this epidemic. We have to epidemic is in the community, let's get it out of there, okay? Because if you let something grow and grow and grow, it starts to become normal in that community. Alcohol and drugs, it's not our way. Teen pregnancy is not our way. You know, all of these negative things that are going on in our tribal communities, we're calling them epidemics. So let's stand up against all of these epidemics. It's not to have a grown-up relationship with another teenager. Parents, you know what to expect. If you allow your children to get involved with each other, more than holding hands, more than talking on the phone, more than coming over, and more than staying the night. Expect to be a grandparent at a very young age. It is not okay. We can't allow teenagers to continue to have babies, because what it does, it sets them back to pursue their lifelong dreams or whatever it may be. Not saying that it can't be done, because it can. I know people firsthand that had that happen to them, and they're very, very successful today. But they'll tell you firsthand that don't go down that road. You know, reach your full potential, go after anything in life. But just expect that. You know, expect to be a young grandparent if you allow your children to be involved in a relationship. That's one of our epidemics. Another epidemic is, women, you were not put on this earth to have a man put their hands on you. Fellas, you're not here to tell a woman what to do, how to act, how to be, who they can be friends with, or whatever it may be. They already have a mom. They already have a dad. And I know a lot of our young people, we grow up in an environment where we may not have our parents, where more likely we may not have our father in the home. And it's hard to learn to have a relationship with the opposite sex, as no one has ever taught us the importance of being a young man growing up into adulthood. So domestic violence, you know, one of the things that we talked about last week over at Osage Nation, and that's one of the reasons I pull up this topic this evening, is to talk about, you know, teen dating violence. You know, it's out there. It's happening. You know what? And violence is altercations. Violence is verbal altercations, the way that a young man may belittle, you know, a young lady, a way a young man may talk about her family. Asking her, you know, what are some things to help with this boy? And I'm so glad that she did, because he's still a little kid. He's still a little baby, you know, and they grow up to be big babies, you know. And I know that I probably do my fair share around the house, you know, with, you know, my daughters and, you know, my wife and my son or whatever it may be, you know, that, you know, when OU's not winning, you know, I'm mad and I want all the doors closed, or, you know, so, you know, that's my reason for being grumpy or whatever it may be. At the end of the day, you know, I think I bounced back to be a pretty strong man. And, you know, I think all of us men, we have this something about us, you know, that we have that side that allows us to be a boy, allows us to be childish, but we should be able to separate that from our manly responsibilities. I know when I'm on a golf course, I don't like to be on my phone. I don't, you know, my hole is done. I realize I got to get back to life. I got to get back to reality. I was practicing on my flute tonight, and same thing. I just was a little kid, and I was playing it, and I sounded like a little boy, you know, playing this thing. But I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm excited to learn this, you know, through my Uncle Keith and, you know, some other things. But, you know, there's a time to be a young man. I mean, there's a time to be a kid, and there's a time to be a father. There's time to be a man. There's time to take on those responsibilities. But in saying that, you know, what you have to watch out for, young ladies, when you get involved in a relationship is, you know, just know that some boys, they don't want love or compassion. They want obedience, and they want affirmation. They want to know that they can count on you. They want to make sure that you agree with everything that they say, you know, and it doesn't work that way. You know, my wife don't agree with probably half the stuff that I have to say, you know, so we filter it. You know, we figure out what's going to work here and what's not going to work. My children, my daughters are just like that. I try to go up and I try to give them that dad-daughter talk, and, you know, they bounce stuff off of me as well, you know. So love and compassion is that you give to others, but more, you know, more so, ladies, that love and compassion is a gift that you have. And you know, you have to know how to use love and compassion, because as much as it can give you the world, it can also get you in a lot of trouble. you know, and I just want to, you young ladies, as you grow up, you know, and young men, appreciate life, you know, and be helpful, you know. There's a lot older. My 14-year-old, 8th grader, I guess in a serious 8th grade relationship, you know, where we have me dropping her off at a movie theater so she can go to a movie alone with her boyfriend, go watch a PG-13 movie. Or last night I'm picking up my 14-year-old over at her boyfriend's house. They were playing cards with his parents. Now, I okay this because I trust my daughter. I okay this because we did the best that we could to put her in that situation where she has to be happy with herself. She has to have self-will for herself. She has to be strong for herself. You know, we met the young man. We trust the young man. We appreciate the young man. We like the young man. I ain't going to lie to you. We even see what she says on Facebook. I just want to let all my kids know, because I'm sure maybe one or two of them are listening to my show right now. We do that. We check into stuff. I don't care. I'm a parent. I'm going to get on your Facebook. I'm going to get into your Instagram. I'm going to try to get on Snapchat if I even know how to use it. I'm going to do those things. I'm a parent. It's not being nosy. It's not being not trusting. You have to stand up to things, and you have to be a parent. My son has his own room. One of my daughters has her own room. My daughter's now driving now. You know, our oldest daughter, she's got a boyfriend now that she's in love with. About growing up here. So I jump into that stuff. We get online. We get nosy in their business. We find out what's going on. And you know what? It all comes back okay. It all comes back clean. It all comes back in a way where, okay, you know what? This relationship right now is in a pretty good place for our daughter or whatever it may be. Not everything that we see, not everything that we hear is always the exact truth. There's going to be something different to the situation. Take, for example, right now, you and your significant other, right now, where you're at now, what's your relationship like right now, what do you say to each other, what are you guys feeling? You go out, you go to a movie, you go to a dinner, hundreds of other people around, you two together. We see what's going on with our young people. I can't tell you that I know the exact relationship that my 14-year-old daughter is having. I can't tell you the exact relationship, you know, that my 21-year-old daughter is having, or how my 17-year-old daughter is feeling. But what I can say is that we support and encouragement that our children are going to make some decisions as if we're there. My little 14-year-old daughter at the movie theater, she's not perfect. She's not going to be perfect. If she was perfect, her room would be clean. She would be ready for school every single day. She would know where every piece of clothing that she needs at 6:45 in the morning is right where it needs to be. She would be folding her clothes every day, whatever it may be. At the end of the day, bottom line, you know, our children aren't perfect. But we want to encourage them, and we want to instill in them morals and values so that when time comes that it's a hard decision, they'll know that they'll be okay because we know that they'll be okay because we taught them and we encouraged them. I know that there's not a lot of young people out there who get that love and affection at home that maybe my children get when. Because you know what? At the end of the day, if you're listening to this, there's a good chance that you're willing to be an advocate, because that's what my whole goal is. That's what my whole mission is. That's what this online radio show is completely about. It's about being an advocate for a stronger, healthy community. You have to play your part. You have to stand up. You have to take roles and responsibility as an advocate and share those with people. You can only do so much. End of the day, you can only do so much. As a foster parent, when we gave up our kids a few months ago, you know what? That's all that I could do. I don't have the funding. I don't have the room space. I may not even have the patience to continue to take in foster kids and take them in and take them in and say, you guys can stay here. You don't have to go anywhere else. You know, I don't have resources to bring in children and keep them here permanently. So what I can do is play my part and get them to where they need to go. End of the day, one of my biggest accomplishments in 2015 was taking some young foster kids out of a shelter and catching them up, developing them, coaching their basketball team, showing love, showing support, or to be able to go be with their family. That was one of my biggest accomplishments, was to play my part. I didn't have to do everything, but I simply played my part. You there listening tonight, you there listening right now, if you're listening to the recording, you have an opportunity to play your part. And let me tell you the reason why we're having this show this evening is because you have to be the one that's going to take a stand against all these epidemics that are going on in our tribal communities. You have to. Teen dating, more than what you think that it is. I'm not going to give you a pretty little picture of this. I watched my 17-year-old grow up. I watched all these kids grow up. And, you know, I'm telling you, you know, what we see is half of what they're thinking, half of what they may want to do. That's why we have to play our part. If you know of a young lady right now that's in a situation it's hard for her to get out of, the reason why it's hard for her to get out of that is because she doesn't know the techniques to get a good, healthy, right relationship. You have to want to take on these responsibilities. It's your responsibility just as much as a parent, just as much as a teacher, whatever it may be. So that's something that you have to think about. Going over here to suicide, let me ask some of you, and some of you guys, 16-51. Why is suicide still a high in Indian country? I mean, it doesn't prove anything but hurt. It doesn't prove anything but, you know, another story. I mean, I don't know what it's going to have to take for us to stand up against this epidemic. There's a government group that says, you know, don't use the word don't and don't use the word die. If you go on to Chantrish.com and you log onto the lower right, you'll see my suicide prevention shirt and it says don't die. And I've heard so many people in that field talk about that's not the right way to go about it. That's not how you deliver the message of staying alive. What? Don't die. That means stay alive. That's what that means. It means do. That's the exact opposite of don't die. So in saying that, I don't know what type of game plan we're trying to use. Let me tell you this. If there's a suicide epidemic going on in your community. Get in there. Let me come to your community. Give me a pen and a pad. I mean, a flip chart and marker. Encourage your kids to grab a pen and a pad. Let's sit down. Let's get grassroots. Let's get old school. And let's talk about reasons why we should be here on Mother Earth for as long as that we can. And because when this happens, we get confused and we can't believe it. And we're hurting. We're in pain. We're in awe. We have to stand up. We have to speak out about this. If you know people on the school board, if you're a parent and you're concerned about this topic, tell the school board, tell the teachers, tell the principals. We need to have something. We write a letter, send emails. It doesn't explain to people why we need to talk to our children about living. It's not the bully 101. It's not the suicide 101. We have to, instead of look at the bad things to say why we should live, we need to encourage the positive. We need to encourage all the wonderful opportunities that our young people are going to have as they grow up, become strong, and prepare them to give back. With all this stuff going on out there, it's about encouraging people. And I'm going to go back to what I talked about 2 weeks ago. I'm going to go back to it doesn't matter what tribe you are. It doesn't matter what, you know, whatever it may be. We got to talk about these things. We have to share these with one another. We have to speak up about the epidemics. Whenever I was in, let me tell you guys what I believe is a huge epidemic. I was telling this to Navajo Prep. I was telling them, I said, you know, what's destroying Indian country the same way that the world and this nation is being destroyed. The reason why the nation is in a tough place spiritually is because we don't treat each other right. We're not treating each other right. Those people who are voting for Donald Trump, you know, I'm not going to be political, but those people voting for Donald Trump, you know, they're the ones that want the old days to be how they used to be. Superior. In charge. You know, Donald Trump said it in every one of his talks. He said who he did not like. He talked about who was a stiff. He talked about if somebody does not get along with me, then they're going to be in trouble. He never talked about having a strong stance in this world today. He talked about all these things. You know, that's where we're at. We're about how we're treating each other. I'll admit, in our home, sometimes we have trying times, and a little bit of it, this is how we treat each other. We're so busy. Son's got tumbling, son's got lacrosse, whatever it may be, and sometimes we're just going, we're going, we're going. And what helps our family is we slow down and we look at each other. And we just kind of know that, man, I know we're all busy, but we love each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to do things together. We're going to be a unit. So it makes me feel good that all my kids can hang out with each other and play and love each other. And the reason why is because it's not because we do family 101. It's not because we sit our kids in the living room and say, hey, you know, this is how we're going to operate as a family, is because we stop and we appreciate and we just confide in each other for a little bit. We don't do it all day. We're busy. We got things to do. But that's how we all have to start treating each other right. We have to focus on how we can make Ending Country a better place, how we can make this world a better place, how we can play our part as Native people in this world. Anyway, as we wrap up here, life is the truth. If you fill your body up with things that can kill you, you're not gonna be here long. If you grow up and you blame others, and it seems to be everybody else's fault over and over and over again, there's a good chance you're never going to get to where you want to go. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. To me, like I said, to me, the sword is powerful. It's a protector. It's a defender. It takes a stance. And if you know how to use it, it's going to be effective. To shield off the thing. A sword is like life. It's what you make of it. If you think life is bad, there's going to be consequences. If you think life is great, there's going to be rewards. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. One thing that I want to is honesty. You got to be honest with yourself before you can be honest. And I know that that's kind of, you know, broad, you know, it's bold, you know, for me to just to jump out and say that. But at the end of the day, life is only a pretty picture if you make it a pretty picture. Stand up. Speak out. Be determined. That's what we talked about at Navajo Prep the other day. You got to be determined in anything that you get yourself involved in. Don't get yourself involved in something if you're not determined to take a stand for yourself. Get out of it. Somebody right now, you're listening to this message, and you're in a situation that you don't want to be in. You're going through something that you wish that you can get out of, but you're staying in it because it might hurt someone else. You stay in it because you may not have anywhere to go. But the biggest reason why you're staying in it, because you're used to it, because it's comfortable. Well, if you're going to do that, you have to pray, and you have to know that whatever you're getting yourself into, you have to have a standard that they live by, that you live by, and that they appreciate. Because if they appreciate your standards, they're going to respect you. Just know that in a relationship. If you don't have standards, how do you expect someone to appreciate you and respect you? But when you have standards, people will respect you. Get out. I know that it's not that, I know it's easier said than done, but you deserve to be happy. There may be a young person right now that you may be contemplating suicide. And I'm going to tell you something. Some people would just tell you don't do it. That's just a way for them to brush you off a little bit. Let me tell you something. If you're contemplating suicide, the reason why you shouldn't is because you've been put on this earth for an awesome, powerful reason. And even though it may not look like it, you're going to make a difference. It takes you to know you're going to make a difference. You can't just expect overnight that you're going to be successful. It does take time. It does take patience. And the reason why it takes time and it takes patience is because God is wanting to give you a story that you can share with others on how you overcame. Don't do it. To create a beautiful, wonderful, loving, strong story. Don't think that somebody doesn't hear you. Because you may be trying to tell this to many, many people in your community. But you know who's listening? God. Creator is listening. And he wants to help you. But you know what? In order for him to help you, you have to be strong too. It's strong. You have to be strong to stay alive. You're important. And I may not know you. And I may never meet you. But you're important to me. And the only simple thing that I could tell you is don't die. Don't do it. Because you are going to be a strong, bright person if you hold on and say a prayer today and conversate with Creator and yourself tomorrow. And in 3 days, you're gonna write things down. And in 4 days, you're going to say that, you know, I have an idea. And in 5 days, you're gonna build something great, whether it's a team or whether it's an idea. You're going to build something, and you're just going to let it domino, a snowball effect. You're going to let it get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you're going to make a difference. So don't let up. Don't let up. Because if you do take your life, you're going to hurt all of us. I don't mean the statistic that the news is going to get and that they're going to say, well, another community, that's number, it's a statistic. I'm not saying that, you know, that's not how you're going to hurt all of us. You're going to hurt all of us because we lost a young, bright, powerful, strong person. Because somebody is no longer with us that we can't hold and that we can't lift up. You're celebrated more living than you are dead. Because after a while, on some days, your passing will be forgotten. We need you here because you're going to do some wonderful things that we can talk about. You're going to do some things with whoever's listening tonight. And that person who's seeing you every day may not tell you. And you've been telling them, hey, I'm hurt. I'm wounded. I don't think I belong here. I'm telling you tonight. Like I said, I may never see you. I may never meet you, but we need you. We need you. If you're an advocate, don't just sit there. Don't be available. Don't open up your door. Don't leave your door unlocked for people to come see you who are hurting, who need help, who are struggling, who need someone to talk to. Get up and go out the door and go find them. Go encourage them. It's not easy. It's hard. I've been doing this now for 16 years, and I've had people in my profession, people that I work with, even today, they never thought that I would be where I am today. They laughed at the idea that I wanted to go out and make a difference in my communities. They put me down. They would ask me who I am, who am I to go off and do things like that? It is hard. But I stayed with it. And I kept doing it. And doing it and doing it and doing it. And 16 years later, I'm still here doing it. And I'm not going to go anywhere. Because I made a deal with my Creator. It's not going to be easy. There, and if you do nothing, continue to expect suicide to be in your community. If you sit there and do nothing, expect domestic violence and teen pregnancy and the dropout rate continue to rise in your community. You can't do it all, and you can't do everything. But what you certainly can do is play your part. That is what you're being called to do. I want to thank you guys for listening to tonight's show. There's only so much that all of us could do. Only so much that, you know, all of us can say. And if this reaches one or two people, I thank Savior. I thank Jesus Christ for giving me the opportunity to share just a few words. I want to thank you guys for listening tonight. Being Anadarko community in our thoughts and prayers. Continue to keep young people who are hungry, who are struggling, who are suffering in our own backyards. I'm Chance Rush at Chance Rush. You can check me out March 24th in Denver, Colorado. With the Gen I Conference, you can log on to chancerush.com to find out where that information, where the location is going to be. I want to, for all listening, I just want to wish best. Play your part, people. A lot of people out there in life who are just waiting around wanting to help somebody. And those people are never going to be affected. You've got to get up. You've got to get out there. I'm Chance Rush. God bless you.